Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, I have missed that song. This is Janine, and you're listening to Lunch with Loudon, part of the Coffee Party Be the Media project. As I say every broadcast, be the media. Well, today's show marks my return to Coffee Party Internet Radio. As some of you know, I was away doing hospice care for my mother. She passed on September 7th. We've had our celebration of life, and now it's time to put my life back together. So for me, that includes returning to you, our listeners, returning to Coffee Party USA. I wanted to start the show with some upbeat comments about my return to the broadcast and give an update about the big house in the Little Woods where I'm sitting today. And to warn you that you might hear chainsaws in the background, it's time for woodlot management. But just minutes ago, just about an hour ago, a shooter opened fire at Umpqua Community College, which is just a few hours down the road from me. And one report says 15 people are confirmed dead and 20 others have been injured. Another report says 2 dead and 11 injured. So obviously the melee continues. If I go to Twitter, to the Oregonian, they say the shooter is down. I don't know enough to give you a report. It would be wrong for me to hold in the background that I was upset and concerned about this. So if any of our listeners know more than we do, feel free to call in 646-929-2495. I'll try to monitor that event as we go. And maybe we'll talk about it later if you callers and listeners are interested in that topic. I know that some of you are recent additions to our audience. Some of you have been with us for the 3 years we've been on the air. So one of my peers suggested that I take a few minutes to reintroduce myself, let you know what's changed in the last few months, and introduce you to an addition to our Be the Media family. You know, it's very weird. I interview other people. I don't interview myself, but let me say just a few things. I went back to my old WordPress file, and I said, okay, how did I describe myself when this journey began? And I'm just going to read that to you. So sometimes I wonder what happened to my boomer friends. They were given a good education and a chance to make something of themselves. How did so many of them become so self-centered? No practice for schools, no time for charity, no tolerance for those not like them. My observation, spins, a nice word for propaganda. I've got a lot to say about the dumbing down of journalism. I'm a college graduate, an ex-multinational middle manager, and a retired business owner. I have 40 employees in 3 Western states. Most of the spin about the economy is shenanigans to me and way pro-mega business, so I'll be talking about my first husband was a Marine officer. My son did 2 tours in Iraq, regular Army, Black Hawk Medical Search and Rescue, actually. And my brother was at the Battle of Fallujah, quite by accident, as a hazmat trainer for the Marine Corps. I don't buy what's been about wars either. Expect comments. Above all, I believe in the dignity of the human spirit, the genius of the Constitution, the power of the truth when spoken in complete sentences as opposed to bumper sticker phrases, and that we need not repeat history, but first must recall history. So we spend shows talking about that too. And over these past, that's sort of the end of the quote from my WordPress post. But, you know, over the years of broadcasting, I focused on a few more issues. I refined my interests. For one thing, I love to promote activism, to report on activism, and let you talk to us about your activism. So if you have an upcoming event to share or a story about your experience, let us know. Call in, email, post a question on the Lynch with Loudon Facebook page. My favorite kind of activism? One that points to money in politics. I spend time connecting the dots between what happens in this republic's democracy and who financially benefits from the mischief. And mischief it is indeed. So, with today's current events, we'd not be excited. Putting aside the shooting that will be in the background for me. I don't want to dwell on this moment. But today we have a continuing resolution for the country's operating budget. We'll soon have a new Speaker of the House. We are coming up on more debates and more national, state, and local politics. I, for one, take great comfort in the notion of a transpartisan, civil, and reasoned conversation on these and more issues over the next year. So there's my introduction. Feel free to call in and query further, new listener, or straighten me out, loyal follower. One of the updates I want to give you today is about WN. WN Molyneux, my co-host, my co-pilot, has moved on to develop her own broadcast. It's called Living Room Conversations. And you can hear it here on Coffee Party Internet Radio 3 Wednesday evenings per month. If you want to click into her most recent broadcast, you can go to the Lunch with Loudon Facebook page or, and click the show. You know, if you know how to query Blog Talk Radio, good for you, you can do that too. But I have very little luck doing that. So, anyway, she's enjoying her time. It's a great show. It's worth your energy, as are all the shows on Coffee Party Internet Radio. But I have saved the best for last today. I'm happy to introduce Loki King, a recent member of the Be the Media radio team, and my new co-pilot, at least for now. So as long as you can handle me, welcome to Lunch with Loudon.
Well, I'm glad to be here and honored that you asked me to actually be a part of your show.
Oh, well, we have great conversations in our team meetings, and I love your cut on things, and you have experience. So maybe you could take a few minutes and tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself, your experience in radio, the other show you're a part of, and anything else you'd like us to know.
Well, I was actually a radio announcer professionally for 17 years. Actually started out in my small little town of Roseburg, and that's why I'm sort of watching the news feeds on what's going on down there right now. And eventually moved on up to the Portland area, worked the radio station there. And then for some unknown reason, I went all the way out to Idaho and then worked out there for a few years. But I came back home to deal with some family issues and everything else and got out of it for a little bit because politics and radio was starting to get out of control, and it was going in a direction that I didn't necessarily see myself going. So I jumped into the internet side of things, and I'm actually the producer for the Tuesday night show that airs here on Coffee Party USA Radio Network, Muslim and the Catholic Wake Up in America, and then filling in wherever I can to be helpful, to help wake people up to what is really going on with our nation. And it doesn't look good unless we can get some more people out there to really take a look and put down their, you know, American Idol, their Twinkies, whatever else, and really look at the whole picture.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. Obviously, that's a part of, I think all the broadcasters on the Coffee Party Internet Radio Network have a similar perspective in terms of there's got to be more to the story than what, you know, what the echo chamber wants us to believe, you know. And so that's why I'm so excited about your partnership. And by the way, let me just insert here, I did not recall that you were from Roseburg. And for our listeners who don't know, Roseburg is where this Umpqua Community College is located. So, you know, you can follow this and maybe update us as well. I'm very, very sorry that there's this kind of tragedy and trauma in your old stomping grounds. I know it's tender. It's a tender conversation to have, you know. Anyway, thank you. I did not know. Go ahead.
It is sad that I hate to say it, and I'm going to get on my little soapbox here a little bit because it's all colored nice and neat. It's sad that our current style of government and the way they're allowing the corporations to actually run this nation instead of the government, that they're keeping us necessarily in a survival mode, using the false flags of fear, propaganda, trying to detract us from our own backyard and what's going on here to what's going on over in Israel and the Gulf and everything else. They're keeping us focused over there, so we're not paying attention here. And that's frustrating for me, because if we don't take our country back, we're going to lose the rights, the liberties, the freedoms that we have, and you're going to see more of these tragedies of these shootings and everything else because people don't know how to deal with the stress. They're lost. They don't know where to turn. So we just need to get the word out there and go, we understand, we know where you're at, let us help. So,
well, that's a refreshing perspective because I often have a challenge sort of expressing the fact that I actually have compassion for people who have been pushed this far. I don't think for anyone it's a light decision. I don't think anyone, quote unquote, in their right mind would ever do it, you know. And so while it's very tempting to have sort of carte blanche, this will never happen again, you know, if we all live in a bubble and no one is armed, right? But it really is a more kind of a ubiquitous experience. And, you know, the frustration and the tension and the fear that you talked about, the things that sort of keep the 24-hour news cycle afloat, right? And we shouldn't be surprised when some of us snap, you know. So I'm with you. I think there's way more to this conversation than gun control, although, you know, that's a conversation by itself. I think compassion will get you there. What?
You can take it a step farther, even away from the gun control issue. I personally think we all should have our rights to bear arms because it's written in the Constitution, not only the U.S. Constitution, but the Oregon State Constitution, that you are able to carry a firearm to protect yourself and your state. But I'm not going to go there at the moment. But they... society, the school system, mainstream media, even social media, unless you do your fact-finding, it's all conditioning people to believe a certain way. You have to believe everything that, you know, the media tells you. You have to do everything that a police officer tells you to do, or you're going to be punished. And the list just goes on and on and on. I mean, you got Boehner that's resigning at the end of October. He's resigning because of peer pressure. He wasn't fulfilling what the Republican Party wanted, nor was he fulfilling the pressure of the corporatocracy of, you know, the different big corporations, you know, Walmart, Wally World, and all these others that are actually running our government right now. It's not the representatives and senators that are up there. They're being told what to do, and they're just being the mouthpiece to get it done.
Well, and, you know, the study done, what was it, last year at Princeton University, totally agrees with your point about who is it who's actually running the country. And that study declared our country an oligarchy. And so I seriously doubt, if you know anything about Princeton, that was their intent. You know what I mean? They didn't go out to do a study to prove it was an oligarchy, but it was the result. And I think as soon as we realize that we have an obligation to this republic's democracy to hold up our end of the bargain when it comes to implementing this brilliant constitution, you know, to not let word games mind think us out of our job as a citizen, you know, and not allow this kind of, you know, what do you call it when someone's like, you know, peeking in through the back curtains, you know, it's so bad. You know, I always love the pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. And so now it's like pay no attention to the money behind the curtain, when pay no attention to the corporation behind the money, and pay no attention to the multinational cartel of the few who actually control all that money. Craziness.
Well, and I mean, they're taking away the freedoms, the liberties, and everything else, and they're spinning it to make it fit what they want. My friend has a 10-year-old daughter. She goes to a charter school. She comes home and says, "Well, I don't have to do chores, and I don't have to do this, because I'm entitled to these things, because that's what I'm being taught in school." I did a news story on our show the other night that happened at the DuPont University, a public university, where a group of students were actually out handing out pocket-sized constitutions. And an officer pulled up and said, "You cannot do this." And they said, "We're exercising our right to free speech." And the officer goes, "No, you are soliciting your opinion, so you need a permit. Because without a permit, we'd have all these different organizations out there offering different opinions that are different from yours, and we can't have that." I'm sorry, that's what the Constitution, that's what it's there for. We are the ones that are supposed to be telling the government what to do, not the corporations.
Right. Well, and I do think that's a bizarre example, right, that handing out the Constitution is considered political speech. I mean, it unprotected speech, let's put it that way. I mean, who wouldn't take a free copy of the Constitution? I carry one in my purse at all times. You know, I've got my 3 Go books, and that's one of them. You know, so I do think that it's kind of we're certainly swimming in murky waters. And obviously the purpose of this show and shows like this are to sort of help tease out the mischief and tease out, what did Biden call it, shenanigans. The shenanigans in our perception of what's going on. Because without an accurate perception of behavior and actions, we can't really respond. We can't really do our job as citizens. And so, you know, what's a citizen to do? I'll tell you what. Have the conversations. with the people who agree with you, with the people who don't agree with you, but have real, live, meaningful talk amongst ourselves about what's actually happening and, you know, how that fits in our mind's view of how the country is supposed to operate. I mean, sometimes when people say take the country back, I wonder how far back. You know what I mean? Because I feel like we certainly lost control after World War II. And the Civil War wasn't really an act of control. You know what I mean? But certainly bring it back to its constitutional intent. And I don't know what point, you know, you want to point at in history, but certainly World War II was a fall-off-the-cliff moment, you know, when war profiteering became legal and when, you know, the good life gave people time off from their civic duty to pay attention to what was going on.
You know, I hold the belief, and I could be totally off base, but I hold the belief on two things. One, to take back our nation, our country, whatever else, we can't necessarily be looking at Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is so corrupt right now, I don't know if we can regain it. But what we can do is we can control our own backyard. Take it on a state level, and if you get enough states backing you, then you can attack Washington, D.C. and say, this is wrong. The states have more power than Washington, D.C. does. But the other step we need to take is we need to get back to the fact that we actually know who our next-door neighbor is, who our neighbor three doors down actually is. I mean, how much have we gotten away from the fact that the person that lives right next door, that your son, daughter, whoever else, sure, you talk on Facebook, you talk on the phone, you make play dates, whatever else, but do you actually really know anything about that person?
Yes, that's an excellent point. And the notion that all change happens in D.C., that is so right on, Loki, because, yeah, what? I mean, you know, we talk about federal, state, and local politics, and we always say it in that order, but, you know, local, state, and federal politics is probably a more powerful paradigm. I know that people who I was involved with when I first became involved with the Coffee Party 4 years ago have moved on to actually be elected to office in their cities and counties. And, you know, I think they share your realization that if you want to inject civility, reason, and a transpartisan approach to problem solving, you've got to run for the school board or run for the city council or be a part of the emergency services district or, you know. That, and then what you just brought home is even better, like who are your neighbors? And I live in a forest, but I really got to know my neighbors when my mother was here in hospice care because, you know, they sort of literally came out of the woods and supported us in what was going on. And I thought, man, you know, I see these guys for a couple parties, you know, a year, and we talk, but I didn't know them, you know, until then. And so you're right. We need to do more to feel a part of our community and therefore worthy of input and participation in our community.
That's where change is going to really start. When we get out of this mentality of it's all about me, 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 get back to respect, get back to common sense, get back to common courtesy, and actually know your neighbors and how you can help them and how they can help you. Eventually, if things keep going the way they're going, our economy is going to collapse. And if you don't have McDonald's to run down to get a bite to eat or whatever else, what are you going to do? Who are the people that you're actually going to turn to for help? What can you offer somebody? What can they offer you? We got to get back to that mindset.
Yes, yes, yes. Up here in Big House in Little Woods, we have a community emergency response team, which is totally unofficial. But like last winter, we all got snowed in and trees were going down over the road. And, you know, there's only one road out to our little niche in the woods. And sure enough, you know, the phone calls went around and people got out with their chainsaws. And, you know, we took care of ourselves. Emergency services couldn't get to us. We had to clear the decks so that they could even come. And I found that very refreshing and kind of a part of the – I grew up in rural Oregon, and so, you know, we used to have the whole grange concept, you know, where people, the producers of food and stuff, whether you're a leather maker, but mostly, you know, do you have livestock, do you have crops, collaborated. You know, we're so far away from having a collaborative society. It is scary, isn't it?
You know, it really is. And the other thing that is kind of discouraging and disappointing, I'm not giving up on it yet because I still have a glimmer of hope, is for some unknown reason, it takes a huge tragedy for any of us to stand up and rally around something that's going on, because we may do it for a while it benefits us, but once the popularity is over, we sort of go about our own business. So it's getting back and stepping up. And you mentioned in a previous conversation with me, one of the topics you wanted to talk about, and it successfully kind of worked, was the statement that the Greenpeace people made against BP, I believe it was. It was either BP or
yes.
Shell or somebody.
Shell. It was Shell.
They actually stood up, and they took something they believed in, and they saw it through to success. That's what we need to do.
Yes, yes, yes. I did an entire show just on that, the Greenpeace 13, and the purpose of that kind of public display. And, you know, it was amazing that they held the world's attention for, you know, 24 hours, 36 hours. And people are going, oh, what's the point? You didn't delay the ship, you know, only by 12 hours or whatever. But the point was, for that moment in time, the world got its PhD in what was going on in the world of Arctic drilling. And while some of us may have followed that to some degree, the majority of the world did not. And on that day, on that 36 hours, all the information came flooding in. And so last week when Shell announced that their permit for the year was over and they would not be returning for further drilling and further research, I can't help but feel that the fact that they were now under public scrutiny, that the world actually knew that no one had ever successfully drilled in the Arctic oceans, that there had never been any good result from any attempt, I think that sort of downed the mystique, right? And we had an opportunity to see behind that curtain we were talking about earlier. And this is the joy of activism, is to actually plan and strategize and execute something that helps others understand the reality of any given situation.
And that is very true. And I do see, it's up to you, it's your show, but I do see that we have a caller that may have a question or comment in the studio.
Absolutely, and I was waiting for that hand to come up. So it's on the end. So I'm going to open up the mic to area code 620. I'm going to try to. Come on, Law Talk, you can
okay.
do it.
Okay, hello. This is Hello, this is Jack Golding.
Hi.
Oh, yeah, I want to comment on that. I want to make something that shale oil is not drilling in the Arctic anymore.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, and we got that, and I think maybe it was the sitters, whoever it was. It was Greenpeace. I don't know. It was a group. But
yes, Greenpeace.
I can make a prediction. Okay. That
okay.
Coal is on the way. Is going to die with the horse and buggy. there's no more demand for coal. It's being replaced by solar and oil will go the same way eventually. So the need for oil, even Saudi Arabia is cutting back, I think, and United States is supposed to be the leader in oil right now over Saudi Arabia and Russia. But I also predict that it's going to be where solar power is being driven cheaper, and is wind power, which is big in Kansas, I think even we might have nuclear power and say rainy safe. So all these renewable sources of energy, the big deal with that China is going to cut back on its fossil fuels, whatever it is, it's producing a lot of pollution. So the United States will be forced to, that was an excuse of not going along with energy. That's the big argument.
Bye.
So that's my comment. Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. Well, listen, let me comment on a few things that you said. I agree that coal is getting dodgy, and I also think that solar power is getting less expensive, more affordable, and so much more even essential than in the day. It would be nice when we have American solar panel builders. That's been a big break-in. You know, most of it comes from China, and there's a lot of people who have sort of ethical considerations with that. But the one thing I really want to say, Jack, is that after the Vietnam War, right, which is sort of one of my introductions to activism, but actually my real introduction to activism was with Dr. King, right? But after the Vietnam War, the next thing that came to my attention was nuclear power. And my sister was very much involved, and I was involved through her and for her in a thing called the Trojan Decommissioning Alliance. And people in Oregon, Four Laws on Board, TDA, a bunch of groups like that, were able to actually not only shut down and decommission, but have raised to the ground a nuclear power plant in St. Helens, Oregon. And the reason was there was a lot of reasons, not the least of which was ratepayers had to pay for future energy because they had to pay as they go to these guys who build nuclear power. But more importantly than that, we're in a huge seismic area. It was not seismically stable. There was a million reasons. But ultimately, one of the things I learned and the thing that turned me against nuclear power forever, you know, there's no good storage. There's no safe promise of operation over a 100-year horizon, nothing like that. But the worst thing to me is nuclear power plants make absolutely no profit except the profit afforded them by the fact that the government loans them the money, the government does their insurance, You know, there's not an insurance company in the world that will underwrite a nuclear power plant. What's that tell you? You know? And so every bit of profit that is realized by any company that builds a nuclear power plant is completely the public dole. And I don't think we want to build any energy future on the public dole. The other thing is all of those plants are turning 50. You know, they're getting close to the end of their clock. And now the public dole, so to speak, corporate welfare, is going to be called upon to decommission and, you know, replace these nuclear power plants. So people, please, you don't have to believe me. Go do the research. These are not cost-effective sources of energy generation. And I promise you, a more decentralized, less centralized, more decentralized means of producing power will be in the long run. I hate to use the word sustainable because it's been co-opted, but seriously, is a more sustainable, a more cost-effective, and updatable, renewable than any of these monstrous centralized means of producing power. End of rant. Thanks for this. Comments, Jack?
Well, I'm glad to speak to you. We can get together. It's been months, I think, since we spoke to you. Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for calling.
We just took a chance and just called. Have to be late. Yes. We're still friends. I haven't been on Facebook since January.
Come on back.
I don't know when I'm gonna because we don't have access to the internet on her, my granddaughter's computer.
thank you very much. And, you know, I actually think access to internet is something that, in terms of a public utility myself, as always, thank you, Jack, for calling. And I love the point you brought up about power and the power of the people in terms of swaying our energy future. So, Mr. Loki, I've just looked back to our ongoing situation at the Umpqua Community College in Roseburg, and it there seemed to be honing in on 10 people dead and 20 injured, but the report still varies, so I don't have an update there. So I'm very interested in what other people want to talk about this coming season. I know that there's several ways that people can sort of enter the conversation pool in order to help point us in directions. Obviously, breaking news is one thing, but if you go to the Lunch with Loudon Facebook page, which Jack obviously can't see right now, you can always comment on a post or send a message to us and make suggestions. We obviously check that every day. You can see I follow the Join the Coffee Party Movement Facebook page and watch what you all are interested in there. I think the biggest thing at all, or how you want to say this, the focus needs to be, you know, what mischief is afoot? What do we think about that? Or even if there's an issue that you go, I don't get it. What's going on here? You can also just call in and go to 646-929-2495 and tell us today what it is you'd like to hear about, whether it's this broadcast or another in the future. And I know that Loki and I will be working on putting together, you know, following up, vetting, researching, and having that conversation with you.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to this and being active, it actually takes getting up out of the chair or at least sitting down in front of a computer or something and looking up information. Now, when I sit down to look up information, I go on a search. I do not take the first story that I read. I actually search it out two or three times to see, are they all saying the same thing? Do they differ? Why do they differ? Believe it or not, I hate to burst people's bubbles, but just because it's on the internet does not mean that it's actually true.
I think there's been a wonderful example of that in the last week where people on Facebook are putting up mocking posts about, if you don't want to see kitty videos, then go to your settings. And you know what I mean? It's like the mock announcements on Facebook are proliferating, and it's in part because it's like, just because someone says Facebook's going to, I don't know what, doesn't mean it's true. but it's certainly in more important things as well.
And, I mean, there's other news sites that are more, in my personal opinion, reputable than going to CNN, ABC, NBC. There's independent news sources out there that will actually report a true and fair representation of what's actually going on. And those are the sites that you need to be paying attention to. Because look at Fox News. They actually went to the court system and they got approved to be an entertainment station. They are not a news station. They are listed as an entertainment station. And they have every right to actually lie to you and get away with it.
Right, right. Well, that's based on that 1999-2000 court case in Florida where journalists who had been let go by Fox for refusing to not report the truth about a particular incident were charging wrongful termination, right? And they went through the whole and they actually won in court, but Fox won on appeal, and the appeal was based on there is no law that says news must be true. Truth in reporting is a professional standard, not a law. And so, you know, I think it's informed not just Fox, but other media as well. From that point forward, there is actually no criminal prosecution in false reporting. And I think that's just crazy making. I studied that case inside and out to say, seriously, is this true? And it is absolutely true that there is no law that requires truth in reporting. There's only a professional standard that requires truth in reporting.
Right. And you know, when I was actually doing radio, and I still do it today, I was taught, you do a news story, you do it without putting your own personal beliefs, emotions, or whatever else into it, but you also reported both sides of the story. Most media sources out there nowadays are only reporting one side of a story because that's all they want you to know.
Right, right, or even all sides. You know what I'm saying? Because there's often more than two perspectives. We sort of look at current events in a polarized way, you know, my way, your way, red way, blue way, conservative, liberal way. And there's actually often way more to be said about it. You know, when you talk about labeling GMOs, for example, that's a really agitating topic for a lot of people. But there are the grower's perspective, there's the seller's perspective, but there's certainly even more because there's the suppliers to the growers and there's, the marketers to the consumers, and it goes on and these circles get bigger and bigger and bigger. And what one needs to do is sort of figure out where is the loudest voice coming from? And then what's their ear telling? What's the quieter voice saying? What is that based on? And does that make sense?
You know, it does. And, you know, a perfect example that's a pretty hot topic right now is the Kim Davis situation, the county clerk that won't issue marriage license because of religious beliefs. People are up in arms because she's being thrown in jail for standing up for her religious beliefs. I hate to tell you, that is not the reason that she got thrown in jail. She has a right to her religious beliefs, yes, but she took a position as an elected official to do a job with certain job requirements that her religious beliefs had to stay out of it. And where she is refusing to do that job because of her religious beliefs, even though she's an elected official, is where the actual issue is.
Exactly, exactly. You know, she was actually in jail for contempt of court because the court ordered that the license applications be processed. And so, you know, contempt of court is contempt of court. It's got nothing to do with your religious beliefs or anything else. And then I always find it interesting that, go ahead.
It goes a little bit farther than that now. Because once she was released, she went back to her office. Her deputy clerks and everything else had been doing the job of issuing the license. She went through and X'd out her name and the city that the license was issued, invalidating every single marriage license issued. That is a criminal case.
Right, right, right. You know, as a sidebar, you know, we said earlier, you know, we have a sense of understanding when people go postal, so to speak. I mean, not in the condoning in any way, but a sense of why that happens, right? And I have this huge, when it comes to the Kim Davis case, I have this huge sense of sorrow for her because she seemed very gullible. You know what I mean? This is a woman married four times, had children out of wedlock, had, you know, I mean, she really sort of has this confused path. And they all sort of point to someone who seeks approval and isn't strong, you know, in their own way. I mean, I'm not trying to psychologically diagnose Kim Davis, but I'm just saying this is not the pathfinder for, you know, righteous indignation about something. And so I feel bad for her. I feel like she's just being used by these people. They had a point they wanted to make, and they used her. And, you know, in the end, she had to choose between the law and her social group. And she chose her social group. And what's weird to me is, go ahead.
She actually chose her social group, but she did what a lot of people do, is they cherry pick or look tunnel vision only at one little thing, and that's how they justify their behaviors, their actions, and their beliefs. When you open up that view and have to look at everything, the whole perspective of things changes, and that's what scares people, and they have to question, am I right? Am I wrong? And most people nowadays do not want to do that.
Oh, right. Well, and also, I wish I could remember who made this quote. It might even been Jimmy Stewart, you know, but it was like, if you don't know where you stand, you'll fall for it. I really, because my stance in this greater conversation is based in the Constitution, I have to say, you believe in the due process of law or you don't. And you can't say, well, today I like what the law did, but yesterday I hated what the law did. You know, it's the law that needs inquiry. It could be that there's not a good law, but in while it sits there, it is the law. And I'm very confused by people that call themselves constitutionalists or people who kind of mix fundamental religion and fundamental politics. Fundamental politics would be that this is the law, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is where it gets murky, like it's okay to break the law when,
Right. Well, look at the statement. We have 211,000 laws in the U.S. right now. We, as citizens, have to know what those laws are, but yet the people that are supposed to be enforcing the law, the law enforcement, they don't have to know the law. How is that right? And like you said... like you said the other night when we were talking, or yesterday when we were talking, or maybe it was somebody else. I get confused at times. But on an average day, if you sit down, say, like in a library or in a coffee shop or whatever else, and just look around, on average, every single person in that room during a 24-hour period will have committed at least 3 felonies without even knowing it. And it's because we have allowed it to happen. We've allowed them to pass these erroneous laws that we're not paying attention to because we're more attuned to our Twinkies and American Idol or watching whatever's popular on TV than actually paying attention to what's going on around us.
Yes, yes. And with the presumption almost like in one's being that you want to know the whole story or you want to know none of it. You know what I'm saying? It's like I cannot be a casual observer of the news or of current events or of the greater debates that are going on in our country today. I either have the TV turned off totally or the newspapers or the computer or I'm engaged. And I think I feel bad for folks who don't have the time to invest in getting their own feelings and thoughts about things as I do. You know what I'm saying? I'm 64 years old. I'm retired.
Yeah.
I am financially comfortable, and therefore I make it my business to even doubt myself. Obviously, if someone's going to get on the Blog Talk Radio and talk about something, one would hope I would have spent a lot of time researching it and in many avenues, as you described before. I way more believe Reuters than I do NBC, for example. But it shouldn't be so hard. It should not be this hard.
The only reason it's hard, in my personal opinion, and I will state that because it's not your opinion, the only reason it's hard is for two things. Nowadays, people want everything immediately, constant, self-gratification, the me, and if I have to go work for it, I want recognition. That's not how true activism works. Activism, true activism, is standing up and taking a stance, whether it's popular or not, on something you believe in and driving that home until a change is actually made. You have to be willing to go the distance with everything. I mean, the tragedy of 9/11, you know, there's a lot of conspiracy theorists out there, whether it's right or wrong. Immediately, President Bush, I don't agree with what he did, but the day after 9/11 said we need to rally around the flag. So what did everybody do? They went out, they bought a flag, they wrapped it, they had it lining the streets and everything else until something better came along. And we seem to forget that. We're not done with this battle. We don't know what the area of this battle is because they've got us off worrying about Israel now or whatever else. But we'll go along, or most people go along as it's popular and they're getting something from it. It's those of us that will actually push it beyond that point, going, there's something not right here, and I need to know the truth. I need to know what's actually going on, and I don't care if I'm popular or not. I care for my own safety, my own freedom, my own liberties, and my own rights. And while I'm doing this, I'm also looking out for you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the old Benjamin Franklin comment, you know, that, you know, if you have no freedom, I have no freedom. That's paraphrased, obviously. But I agree. I think now, after September 11th, we saw a lot of what I call flag jacking. And it's like a hijacking of the flag. But it went crazy places. Like in Hawaii, we have a saying, it's holo holo. And when you're driving around holo holo, you're in the car, you're going somewhere, you have no idea where you're going, but you're having a good time. And the idea is to have a good time today, right? Holo holo. And so it feels like the country's going holo holo with this flag or this issue. And then comes to an intersection in the road and, oh, there's a juicier issue. Or there's more angst, or there's more fear, there's more, there's got to be a word for, you know, just how vitriol something can make you feel. And so all of a sudden we take a left turn or a right turn and we're going after that one. And if we learn nothing else as a people, as a country, we could learn to reserve judgment until we actually know more than the bumper sticker about something. You know, the bumper sticker, the phraseology might take me to look. I appreciate that. You know, when you say the Greenpeace 13, it might take you to look at the demonstration against shells drilling in the Arctic Sea. But that's all it is. It's like saying, it's like a road sign. Look here. It's not the thing from which your judgment should be made. You know? And I think sometimes we feel like, or we are entitled to our opinion regardless of whether we even thought about it before, you know? And I grant that people are entitled to their opinion. Don't get me wrong there. But please, let's teach our kids and one another. Let's make it possible for someone to say, I'm not sure what I think about that yet. That's a brave statement these days.
It very much so, yes. And when you make a statement like that, you have to be at least willing to not stagnate. At some point, you're going to have to educate yourself as to what that issue is. I mean, like when laying out this show, you mentioned you wanted to talk about the Boehner resignation. Resignation isn't necessarily in my repertoire of talking about things, because on my normal show that I produce, I'm dealing with a Muslim and an Irish Catholic, so we're talking about issues in that realm. We're talking about the current presidency elections that are coming up. And then on my own show for my personal life, I deal with a lot of the LGBTQ issues. So, you know, Boehner for me wasn't a strong suit, but at least I took the time to go do some research, figure out where this guy was, who he was, and what the whole hubbub about his resigning or whatever else was about. I took the initiative to do that, and that's what it's done. I mean, okay, half hour, 45 minutes of my life to research a little bit to find something out, at least get enough information to be able to ask questions so I can learn more. Did it kill me?
Exactly.
No, I'm still here. I'm still breathing. So,
Right, right. And I think it's sometimes interesting to see, I mean, I think it's wonderful that in any group there are going to be people have a multitude of different concerns. And see, that's the richness to me of a community. That's the richness of melding our communities, or at least not melding like making them unit community, not like that, but actually welcoming many, many communities into the conversation. Because, you know, to me, the Boehner thing is a big deal only because I have this financial, economic, business-oriented eye, you know? And so what I saw, or what I posted was, I'm concerned that this means that they're going to shut down the government again. And I was concerned because the last time he was a good soldier, and he supported his team's effort to shut the government down to try to prove a point and kind of gobsmack Obamacare, right? And then when it was all over, one of the leaders of that group, of that team, basically said, oh, we knew this wouldn't work. And he flipped out. It was like, what? Are you kidding me? We put the country through this and you never thought it would work? And so my concern was that this was a flag coming, that indeed they were going to try another shutdown and he would have no part of it. Now, we got a continuing resolution today. I'll still keep my ear to the ground and listen for the hoofbeats of what's going to happen when this continuing resolution expires. But I was pleased that either my concern was wrong or what he did prevented it. So, you know, again, I'll keep my eye on that ball. And you'll be keeping your eye on other things. And then there'll be things that we both find hugely and tremendously interesting. And so I think that that's the value of having multiple voices on a show like this. And it's also the value of being inclusive, hoping that we attract listeners and callers and followers on social media who can contribute those unique and important perspectives, to this American life, so to speak.
And I'm going to jump in here. One of the questions that I deal with a lot, and I hear it a lot on my shows and everything else, is, you know, Loki, I'm a stay-at-home mom, or I'm a disabled vet, or whatever else. I can't go to the rallies, the protests, whatever else. I want to be active, but how can I be active when I've got all these other distractions? It's simple. Whether it be, you know, you love animals and want to see animals saved, whether you're into more of the political representation of what's going on in the presidential election debates, find something you're passionate in and take a stance. Write letters to your congressmen, to your senators, write letters to the heads of the organizations, and speak out. Speak your mind. Let them know what you're actually thinking. You know, it seems like, oh, I'm just one person, but one person can start a ripple. Look at a still pond. I use this analogy quite a bit. You're looking at a still pond. You throw a rock or a pebble into that still pond, you get all these ripples. You take that one step, you've got another ripple, and it's just going to get more and more and more. Take a stance on something. It doesn't have to be political. It can be, you know, fuzzy and cute or whatever else. But make a statement. Let people know what you're thinking.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I all the way from, you know, anybody can send a postcard. And if you have access to the Internet, you can send emails. And if you participate in social media, you can comment. And frankly, I think one of the great strengths for those of us who are often stuck at home, right? I certainly go through extended periods of sort of being homebound. And that that is to insert, you know, what the coffee party would call civility and reason into any conversation of which you're a part. So that's like saying, even statements like, I'm not sure what I think about this one yet, or asking meaningful questions, or putting out, here's what I think about this. Inserting that into environments, whether they're your friendlies or not, right? You know, whether it's on Twitter or Facebook or Google Plus or wherever you go to have a social media interaction, I really think that sometimes the voice of your authentic voice, that's what I'm going to call it, your authentic voice really puts a stick in the spokes of that machine that turns out thoughtless conversation. And I'm often amazed and pleased and delighted with the kind of conversation you can get in what looks like a hostile environment. You know, just by saying, I'm not sure I understand it. Or, what about this piece?
You know, exactly. And you actually can tell when you're having an impact on people, either by the fact that they're getting upset with you, or I've had it happen to me on social media where I've actually been blocked from groups because they didn't want to hear what I had to say anymore because it was making a turmoil within their own groups because people were questioning, do I really believe in this stance or not? And that's what it takes. I mean, go share with, walk outside. We did a social experiment on one of our shows where we asked people, our listeners, to go out and meet five people that you wouldn't normally talk to, whether it be your mailman, somebody in the grocery store, or whatever else that may have a different faith than you, may have a different lifestyle, and see what the responses are. And the answers that we got back were amazing. Were amazing. It didn't hurt anybody. It took 5 minutes out of their day to actually, hey, Janine, how are you doing today? You know, I'm whatever, and I see that you have a different dress or a different understanding than what I do. Can we sit down and talk about it or whatever else? That's what we need to get back to. We are all human beings. We, you know, we may look different on the outside, but we have the same feelings. We have the same whatever. And if we get cut or hurt, guess what? We all bleed the same color. Get to know people.
Absolutely. You know, it's almost a cliche now. You know, we are more alike than different. But it is so true. And I have to tell you, from experience, you made me think about two experiences I've had that I think really opened up the world of what one person could do. One of them was I was in Washington, D.C., and I actually made appointments with both my senators and my representative. And, you know, I was going to be big, bold, and brave and talk to them about stuff, not the least of which was Citizens United. But, you know, I was thinking I had to, like, be bold. But the truth was they wanted to sit down with me. They wanted to talk to me. And they were curious and, you know, we had a conversation. So that first level shocked me. But while I was sitting there in the waiting room waiting for my appointment, there's these, in every office, there were these young people that I guess they're interns, and they're sitting there at a phone waiting for the phone to ring. And when the phone rang, people said, hey, I want the senator to know XYZ. And they're polite. They write it down. They find out who you are. They ask you questions. But the point is that when someone says, call your senator today or call your representative today, also true in your House of Representatives in your state legislature or the Senate in your state legislature, those people actually want to answer the phone. They enjoy talking to you. They're very good about writing down everything you say. and the elected official they represent actually gets that report every day. And so don't feel like the phone call is wasted. Don't feel like the fax is wasted. Don't feel like the postcard is wasted. And certainly if you have a one-on-one opportunity, don't think that's not worth your time. Because that's it's amazing how just like us, those people are more like us than they are different as well.
Well, let's take another look at it. I mean, you call in, you send a postcard, you send an email, fax, whatever else. Now, it may be passed on to the senator or representative. They may choose to act upon it, may not choose to act upon it, but I guarantee you that you could have an impact on whoever initially looked at that fax, whoever initially read that email, whoever took your phone call. You may not impact your senator representative right away, but somewhere along the line, I guarantee you, what you had to say, no matter how small or big you thought it was, you impacted somebody along the way.
Oh, precisely. In communication, there's this concept called conversations that generate conversations. And so it really points to, in my case, this was something I learned in business, but it's actually in anything that you do, that the effect of your interactions with other people seldom stops with the person you spoke to. It's that conversation generated the next conversation, which contributes to the downstream conversation. And so it's very important to realize that this isn't the terminal event, that phone call, that postcard, that fax is not the terminal event, that there will be conversations generated by it. Just like you were talking about in the waves in the pond, the ripples in the pond, it really keeps going and keeps going, which is why participation by people like you and me and any darn buddy else, when someone as bold and as well organized and as well financed as Greenpeace makes a major statement to the world, our words are only amplified by their actions. And so to speak then, is even more powerful, to put words of agreement or words of question or words of doubt, whatever your words are, into that moment in time. Affects, the downstream reality for everyone.
I totally agree. So,
and it makes participation essential. And so that's one of the reasons I enjoy on this radio show. I enjoy interviewing people who are promoting activism, who are having experiences with activism, who come back from, the New York Climate March and report on their experience there. I mean, we get to vicariously participate through them, but we also get smarter. There's more that we know. And we can see how the little things that we do as individuals accumulate into the actions of, the body politic even. Certainly into our groups, our interest groups, our folks who line up, thoughtfully line up anyway, I hope, to one cause or another. So certainly I'll say over and over, and I'll say in every broadcast, if you have an event coming up, whether it's, in Salem, Oregon, New York City, or I'm not so good about Finland or Poland or anything. I'm not sure what impact I would have there, although I occasionally have listeners there. But you can certainly let us know what's going on. At a minimum, we can promote through social media. We can interview, and because Block Talk Radio is a form of social media. But we can also sometimes help you reach your target audience. And so never underestimate your ability to make inquiry and to get results, because here we are. Waiting for you, waiting to share what's going on in your life, waiting to hear your perspective on a matter. And don't try to guess whether Loki or I will agree or disagree, because we're interested, period.
You know, I don't want you to tell me what you think you want me to know. I want you to tell me what you actually know, and then we can have a discussion or a debate on that and educate, because ultimately we are everybody's teacher, but we are also everybody's student.
Yes. That is brilliant. So, Loki, I want to tell you I've had a really fun first broadcast with you, and I'm looking forward to working with you in the future. I'm very excited about this partnership and really excited about the direction that Coffee Party Internet Radio has gone. We now have a broadcast every night or every day of the week. Mine, of course, is Luscious Loudon is here it is midday in the Pacific Coast, but most are in the evening. And if you'd like to find out or identify one of our shows, you go to www.coffeepartyusa.com and click on radio shows, and you'll get to see what's next. Thank you so much. I have one last comment, and this is how I end almost every broadcast. Coffee Party USA has not benefited from Citizens United. We are an all-volunteer, crowdsourced organization. If you would like to make a contribution to Coffee Party USA, go to www.coffeepartyusa.com and find that big red donate button. You can make a one-time gift. You can become a monthly sustaining member. You can become an annual sustaining member. We're thrilled with every contribution, however large or small. We've never had a $10,000 contribution. That could be you. But our average contribution comes closer to $25. So thank you very much. And thank you, Loki. I look forward to next week.
It was fun. I'm very honored and very humbled to actually be here with you, because it does give me the opportunity to have a voice and to be heard. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Coffee Party on.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last.